الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers and also most respected sisters at the madrasa we are still discussing that hadith sharif reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in which he says that Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my Allah my Rabb gave me specific orders with regards to 9 things the first one we have discussed at length but there is no such thing as an end that I must fear my Allah my Rabb in both public and private when I am in public I must fear Allah when I am in seclusion I must fear Allah tabaraka wa taala when I am outside I must fear Allah taala when I am inside I must fear Allah tabaraka wa taala for Allah taala is watching everywhere Allah taala is hearing everything said everywhere it's not that Allah taala only watches when you are outside in the bazaars on the streets or in the masjid or in public places then Allah Ta'ala is watching he knows everything what we are doing and when we are in the seclusion of our homes or our rooms or of hotels or of our cars of some other area there is nobody else there then at that time we think that Allah Ta'ala is not watching at that time we indulge in all our sins especially those who are connected with masjids those who are connected with deen those who are connected with taaleem those who are connected with hifz of the quran sharif those who are connected with hajj and umrahs and those who have got the libas and the garb of piety because I am addressing you in this masjid meaning that you have got a connection with allah and his rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you are coming here not to increase your knowledge but for the purpose of reformation and change So just as I am addressing you, I am addressing my own self because I too, alhamdulillah, have got some connection with the masjid and some connection with the Quran Sharif and some connection with the Hadith Sharif and some connection with Hajj and Umrah. So don't think I am only addressing you. So what I am saying is this, that if you have to take the majority of those who have got some deen in them, even if it is a few percent, but if they got some connection some taalluq with Allah and his rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the deen with masjids with quran with hadith with hifz then the sins that we commit it is generally in our lives of seclusion in the privacy of our homes or wherever we think and we believe that our murids are not watching us our students are not seeing us Our clients are not watching us. Our parents are not there to see us. Our neighbors are fast asleep. So when we think everybody else went to sleep, then that time we commit our sins. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me, if Allah Ta'ala is ordering Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who was sinless and masoom, there was no question, no doubt of him committing any sin. Therefore, again, that hadith sharif comes to mind in which Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, when Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from Ghar-e Hira and he said zammiluni zammiluni and he was very worried very concerned and very frightened you have heard this already in my majlises but I mentioned it that this hadith will be a majmua we will be covering a lots of things whatever Allah will put in my mind which is beneficial for me and for you I will go ahead with it I will not hold myself back so this hadith just suddenly came to mind again that Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu ta'ala anha when Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from the cave of Hira what was he worried about what was he concerned about what was the fear that he had the fear that he had was this that Allah tabaraka wa taala has placed such a burden on him has given him such a responsibility, has given him such a task, that he has to now convey this Quran Sharif to the people who are not prepared to listen to anything. He will have to take this Quran Sharif to those people who will become his enemies. He will have to take this Quran Sharif to those people who will be thirsty for his blood. And looking at the conditions around Makkah Mukarramah at that time, we all know that there was drink and gamble and fornication and adultery and murders and killings and rape and anything that you can think of. There was no sign of civilization or no sign of any sanity there. Now at that time, that burden that came on him, it is just like a person suddenly given a big responsibility. Now he has got this fear that if I am not going to be able to do justice, if I cannot deliver the goods, as we say, then people will laugh at me. They will make a mockery. They will say that this person, he took on this responsibility and he could not do justice to the task that was given to him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, imagine that kind of responsibility suddenly coming on him, which he least expected in the cave of Hira, that this is what it was going to come. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very much concerned. ND407683-15698 and NPN8000. Somebody wants to come out, please remove your cards. 407683-15698 and NPN8000. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came back and he told Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, cover me up, and Hazrat Khadija could see that he's very worried and concerned. So the words in which Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha consoled him, those words keep ringing in my ears, that what kind of confidence this woman had in her husband. What kind of confidence, what kind of trust, what kind of faith, what kind of love, and what kind of yaqeen, that my Allah, that the Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not allow any harm to come to my husband because he has got certain qualities in him. And it was only a wife, or it was the most difficult thing for a wife to say all these things, because the wives know the weakness of the husbands. And Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, after having lived with him for 15 years, I mean, she could have, na'uzu billah, seen some weakness, but there was no weakness at all. There was no deficiency. There was no fault that she could find in Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the words in which she consoled him, kalla, never, never, ever. There's an emphasis that never, ever will Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala do this. Kalla. And to add emphasis upon emphasis, kalla, wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. Never, never will Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cause any humiliation to come upon you. Allah Ta'ala will not allow that to come. So it shows that if somebody swears someone while that person is inviting towards deen, that is not humiliation. If somebody has to throw a stone at somebody, the person who is inviting towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he must not consider that to be humiliation and disgrace. Sometimes we have got that weakness that somebody was calling towards deen, somebody was inviting towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, somebody was making nasihat to someone that this is not right, this is right, do this, don't do that. And that person gave him a tight slap. Or he said, you mind your own business. Or since when you became the wali of Allah Ta'ala, or became a Nabi and to come and guide me. So now the others who were watching that, they say, look what humiliation and disgrace this person suffered. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he could have given him respect that these people shouldn't have done those things to him. So at that time we must recall Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha told him that never, never will Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala allow any humiliation to come upon you. And yet we saw that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went through so much of trials. He was stoned in Taif, he was stoned in Uhud, rope was put around his neck and he was dragged, when he went into sajda, intestines of animals on his back. Now all this to those kuffar and mushrikeen, it was like humiliation and disgrace. That if Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah was with him, then where is that Allah? If Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that my Allah is almighty, he is powerful, he is great, and these are his sifats and his attributes, then where is that Allah? If he is Nasir, then where is that Nusrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Why is the one so closest to him suffering then? You can see what doubts it would have created. Therefore we say that the Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, you cannot find better people than them on this earth after Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The iman that they had, we cannot produce anybody like that. Why? Because the test for them was so great. Imagine here Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes amongst them. He is inviting them towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. and towards the greatness of Allah, and towards the help of Allah, and towards the might and power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he tells them about how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dealt with the nations of the past, how Allah ta'ala destroyed the people of Nuh and the people of Ad and Samud, and how Allah ta'ala destroyed the qawm of Fir'aun, and how Allah ta'ala destroyed qawm of Lut. So now he's telling them all that. But if you have to look around him, then he hasn't even got food in his stomach. Sahabas are tying stones on their bellies. They are digging the trench there. There's such fear that these enemies will come and they will wipe them out from Medina Sharif. Such kind of fear. At that time there's no food. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he had to pick up his kurta to show the sahabi who showed him one stone on his belly. He said, see, I have got two stones on my belly. Allah. Now at that time, the sahabi, if he was like us, he would say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we thought we will accept Islam, we will accept your deen, then we'll start getting halwa and paratha all the time. And people will put garlands around our necks. Wow. And they will give us, sing poems in our praises. But here, after we accepted Islam, we seem to be going through so much of suffering. And okay, understandable that we are going through it, but what about you? Na'uzu billah. We would have said that. That if you claim to be so close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then why all this suffering? So therefore their iman was so strong that they believed in the word of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were not looking, they were not believing what they were seeing with their eyes, because the eyes can make a lot of mistakes. They were believing the word of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said something, then that is the truth. If he promised that you will succeed, there will be victory, there will be success, then that is the truth. Even though it may come a few years later. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, Kalla, wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. Never, never will Allah ta'ala allow any disgrace and humiliation to come upon you. And then she said, why? Why does she believe that it won't come upon him? And that was the disgrace and that humiliation, that the responsibility has been given to him to propagate the message of Islam, and he would fail in that duty. She said, that will never happen. Allah Ta'ala will not allow that humiliation and disgrace to come upon you, that you are given a task to convey this message to the masses, and they are not accepting, and they are not going to be easy to convince. So Allah Ta'ala will assist you, Allah Ta'ala will help you. If He has revealed the Quran Sharif upon you, then He is the one who will assist you and help you in conveying that message. And if trials and tests will come along the line, then He is the one who will give you that patience. He will give you that patience. As I explained in some other talk, that sabr upon the Ahlullah, this is what it means. Or those people whose hearts are connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then this is what sabr means. That Allah Ta'ala tests them to see whether they are real ashiks of Allah Ta'ala. We are very weak. We must not ask for any tests. We must say we are very weak. Ya Allah, we can't take any tests. We will sell our iman for few miserable coins if tests have to come upon us of poverty and starvation and hunger. So therefore we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from trials and tests. But here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the sahaba ikram ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, when the test came, then it was, and even now, those people whose hearts are connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then when tests come in the path of Allah, meaning that when there is an obligation upon the person, when there is a shari'i injunction directed at that person, that at this moment in time, this is what you have to do, or there is a severe test and trial upon him, there is a temptation that has come into his heart, and very strongly, and there is nobody that is watching there. Now at that time, when to make sabr is not easy. Or this person is very sick, very ill, and he's got so much of pain in his body, is groaning with pain. So at that time, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he gives that person sabr. Meaning, as I explained, that it is like an examiner who sets out a very, very difficult paper. And after that, he tells the candidate, now you put your hand into my hand, and I will write down the answers for you. So if that candidate, examiner does that, to phir uske baad kya musibat hai. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada, innaka latasilur rahim. You maintain family ties, and in this hadith sharif, one of the points that we have discussed is family ties. So he says that you maintain family ties. You do not break them, you do not sever them. Innaka latasilur rahim, wa tahmilul kal. And you carry the burdens of others. Those people who cannot carry their own burdens. This also I explained in some majlis of talk, that there are many ways of easing the burden of others. It's not only just carrying a parcel for that person across the street or to the house. There are many ways. The person is weak, he's sick, he doesn't have a car, he doesn't have transport, and Allah Ta'ala has provided us with transport. Now we are going in that direction also. So what does it cost us if we have to pick up that person who is taking a walk? I'm not saying just pick up any strangers who are dangerous. In these days it's dangerous, so I'm not talking about those strangers. But I'm talking about in certain places, it is so common that the person is going to the masjid, he's got an empty car. Especially up country, they complain of this a lot in the Transvaal too. They say the person knows that the masjid is another half a kilometer away. And this person with his topi, fajr time, where else can he be going except masjid? And he knows the person too, not that he doesn't even know him. But with his big car, he will pass by and drive away. So at that time, carrying the burden of the other is that give that person a lift and take him to the masjid also. And with the barakat of that, Allah Ta'ala will protect your car also. So this is one way of carrying a burden. Then we have so many people who cannot write, who cannot fill up forms, who cannot do their own applications. Now they, if Allah Ta'ala has given us some knowledge, some expertise, then there is no such thing that fees for everything. For everything fees. Like they said, one lawyer, he sent one letter out, or it's one letter of demand to his client, and now in that when he read, there was an extra 500 rands charged. So he asked him, he said, what is this 500 rand for? So he said, well, this 500 rand, last night I dreamt of your case. And in the dream I spent quite a bit of time solving your case. So this charge is for that dream. So we don't have to charge for everything. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says, إِنَّكَ لَتَسَلُ الرَّحِيمُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. You carry the burdens of others. And remember that when we carry the burden of others, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will ease our burden. Allah ta'ala will ease our burden in this world too and in the akhirat too, inshallah. But we're not going to detail on that aspect, as we'll just get stuck there. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ. And it's also read tuksabul ma'adum. The different meanings that have been given without going into details. That one is that you earn for those people who cannot afford to earn. That means the person does not consider his earnings to be just for himself. Those people who are weak, those people who are sick, those people who are disabled, those people who are unemployed and they cannot find employment. They are trying, they are not lazy, they are not don't works. They are people who are keen on working. But it's just that they are retrenched and there's no employment. Or the person is disabled, or the person is an orphan, or she's a widow. So this person is earning for them also. He says, Ya Allah, in my earnings, there's a share for all these people. So that is what this person, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, is told by Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that what I saw in your life is that your earnings never really stayed with you. It went to all these type of people that could not earn. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you entertain your guests, you are hospitable. وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And those people who are on haq, you assist them. If they got into difficulty, some problem, but they are on haq, then you assist them. Now all these things that she mentioned, my point of bringing this in here was that if you have to look at it, here Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned certain attributes and certain traits of certain characteristics of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning that she knew exactly what his seclusion was like. Because she was most of the time with him in seclusion. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, until that stage, he had not received wahi. He was not living with his companions or the sahabas, 124,000 of them. Nobody had even accepted Islam at that stage. Islam was unknown to them at that stage. At that time, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his life, although he was not even informed of his nubuwwat, he was a Nabi even before Hazrat Adam alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. But the information that he has been appointed and nominated and crowned a Nabi was given to him in that 40th year of his life. So that information when it came, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha could have said that how did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala appoint you, na'uzu billahi min zalik, when I saw you in your private life doing so many things that were wrong. So this is what I am saying, that those people who've got connection with the masjids and those who've got connection with deen and those who've got connection with the Quran and hadith and those who've got connection with the works of deen, then their sins are mainly in seclusion. That is why this hadith is so important for us, that always believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching us wherever we are. We go quickly on to the next part, where Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then my Rabb ordered me that I should say that which is haq, which is the truth, which is just, which is fair, in which there is adl, even though I may be angry or whether I am happy. Whatever my temperament, but I must only say that which is the truth, which is haq, and in which there is adl and justice. This also I explained at length. The third part of moderation also I've explained, that whether it's poverty or whether it's richness, but I must adopt moderation. Then I must give to those people who have deprived me of my right. I must maintain family ties even with those people who are severing family ties with me. And I must not deprive those people of their rights who have deprived me of their rights. And of course the sixth one was that those who do injustice to me, then I must forgive them. I explained it very, very clearly that Shariat allows you to seek justice, to demand justice. If somebody has hurt or injured a person, then he is entitled to go and demand that justice be done. However, here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is showing his character. That he as a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is no question of seeking revenge. Meaning that if we want to become the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this desire to get revenge, to get our money's worth back, or to hurt the person and injure him just as he has hurt us, or to curse that person just as he has cursed us, or to slap that person just as he has slapped us, then this person is far, far away from wilayat. He must not dream of wilayat. If he's in his life, he has got that desire all the time to take revenge, revenge, revenge. There must be that quality of forgiveness, that large-heartedness. Forgive the person. Then only we can say we're coming closer to that stage of wilayat. Otherwise we'll be only reading tasbihs and making our zikr and ishraq and tahajjud and chasht, but we'll be far, far away from there. Because a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is never a muntaqim. And a muntaqim will never be a wali. Wow. The person who takes revenge, he is not a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the person who, a muntaqim cannot be a wali, and a wali cannot be a muntaqim. A wali will not seek revenge. So this is the sifat of a true Ahlullah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is where we stopped, is that my khamoshi, my silence, my sukut must be meditation. This meditation, the sukut, the silence must be meditation. What people have attained by silence, they have not attained by speech. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, for 40 years he didn't give speech. So many other walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for years and years they never gave any speech. So then what did they do then? With the ruhaniyat, they spread that yaqeen into the hearts of the people. But when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put it into them, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sort of appointed them, that now you must speak. So when they spoke after that, then hearts got lit up. There was so much of nur inside that after that, within seconds, the hearts of people used to light up and people used to change. In the majlis of the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah and other such awliya, janazas used to come out. Janazas. So what was it? It was the effect of their hearts, because now they were talking from their hearts. Words were no more on the lips. It was coming from the heart. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted this, that a time will come when there will be a lot of speech, lot of speech, lot of speech. But amal will be put in the shelves. And there will be a lot of projection of muhabbat, that I love you and I like you and you are my dearest friend. But in the hearts there will be nothing but hypocrisy and hatred for that person. How true what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said. That it will not be from the heart, it will be all from the tongue. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that my Allah, he ordered me that my sukut, my khamoshi, my silence, there must be meditation. Now that is actually for us. That we must try and find time for this meditation. All the time in company, talking, talking, talking is not beneficial. It's not good. Because when the person speaks a lot, the person who's got a habit of speaking a lot, I'm not talking about dini majlises where you are reading from the Quran or hadith or zikr or tilawat or something like that, or waz and nasihat. I'm talking about getting together as friends and then just talking, talking, talking. Then there, besides eating the other things that will be laid out on the dastarkhan, the good food that will be on the dastarkhan, but one part of that meal is definitely going to be the boti of our dead brothers. With that roti, we will be eating the boti of our dead brothers in abundance. So our hearts will become void of all noor. Pious and righteous people, all of us, we get caught up in this. The talk start, generally discussions start around good things, and then after a little while, then ghibat starts. And what does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says? In the Holy Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us that the making ghibat is eating the flesh of one's dead brother. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Therefore you will notice that most of the places after an ahkam or after a hukam, which is a little difficult outwardly, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bring وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, that only those people will be able to restrain themselves from this haram who have got the taqwa in their hearts, who have got that realization that my Allah is with me, He is watching, He is hearing. Even if that brother is not listening and not hearing, my Allah is hearing. Then only that person can abstain. Yes, certain things don't fall under ghibat. If a person is openly dancing on the stage, is going to the clubhouses, is going to the cinemas and theaters and gambling dens, and that person is not ashamed of his illicit relationship, he even allows the photographers to photograph him and put the picture in the newspapers, then such people's ghibat is jaiz. Although we'll get no benefit by making such ghibat. Even there it is better, like somebody asked Hazrat Rabia Basriya, Rahmatullah Alayha, that to curse shaitan, is it jaiz? Or they asked Hazrat Hasan Basri, Rahmatullah Alayha, that if a person keeps cursing shaitan, is it jaiz? He said, instead of cursing shaitan, say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. That will give you more benefit. So we will not benefit in there, because after that shaitan, although at present that ghibat of that person is jaiz, because that person is not concerned, that person is not committing that sin in privacy and after that afraid and ashamed and is making tawbah, is doing it openly. So this ghibat might be jaiz, but even though it is jaiz, but it will bring pride in our hearts. It will bring superiority complex in our hearts. And we will begin to think of ourselves as better than that person. And sooner or later, instead of that sin, which was supposed to be disliked and detested and abhorred, that sin will go away from our sight, and that person will now become disliked and detested, although he is a believer and he's got iman in his heart. Whereas we are told that you must dislike the sin. We say, how can that happen, that the person who has committed the sin, how can we separate him from the sin? The example given by Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayh, what knowledge Allah Ta'ala had given them and how He inspired them. It was a very difficult question, this. It's not an easy question to answer. That the person who has committed the sin, now how do you separate the two? So there, he said, it's very simple to understand. One example, he said, is this. That person, you do not know when he is going to make tawbah, and he can become the mehboob of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala after his tawbah. And we will go on talking after he has made tawbah, and then we will be heading for Jahannam. And he said that it is just like a person who has taken boot polish and painted his face black with boot polish. But he's a very handsome person, or she's a very beautiful woman, very pretty girl. But the child, a pretty young girl, took boot polish, like how children play, and they painted the face black. But yet the face of that child, or the face of that woman, or the face of that handsome person is like the moon in brightness. But because of that black polish now, that child is looking ugly, that woman is looking ugly, that man is looking ugly. So everybody is saying, you are ugly, you are ugly, you are ugly. So that person went away into the bathroom and took the polish out from the face. And now when that person came outside, the face is shining like the moon. That polish was removed. And those people who were saying, you are ugly, now they had to swallow their words, because they didn't know what was the beauty of this person. So he said, in the same way, this person who has committed sins, he has gone ugly, there's no doubt. That boot polish has covered his face, he's gone dark and he's gone ugly. But we do not know when this person will go and take that detergent of tawbah, and suddenly that face of the person, not face, but the heart of that person will shine brighter than the moon. And he will go higher than the angels. So that is one. And the other one is, that same person who is drinking, gambling, committing adultery, fornication, doing all sorts of sins, Now after that, he changed his life completely. Now when he was committing those sins, we said, this person is very bad. We are talking about the person. Now he made tawbah, sincere tawbah, and he started coming to the masjid. He returned to everybody whatever their rights were. He was owing people money, he paid them their money. Whoever he had harmed and hurt and injured, he went and sorted all his problems out with them, and everybody forgave him. And now suddenly this person has become very pious and muttaqi. Now we are saying that this person is very pious, this person is a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There are so many walis who were at one time crooks, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them hidayat. They searched for those people from whom they had stolen, they went and returned whatever they had taken, or they asked them for maafi, and after that they became great walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Fuzail bin Iyaz radiallahu, read his story. So here, now this person who has given up everything and now become pious, now we are saying that this person is very pious, is very good, is muttaqi, is wali. So what really changed? The person changed. The body of the person is the same, the hands, the feet of the person the same, the tongue and heart and everything same. What changed is the condition of that person's heart. The inside changed. So when the inside changed, now we also changed our tune and our story with regards to that person. So it shows that what we were disliking was the sins of that person, not that person. Because that person hasn't changed at all. He's still 60 years of age, 30 years of age, 40 years of age. Does it mean that because he made tawbah, now he changed, he became 60 years of age from 30? Or this person was thin, and he made sincere tawbah, and he changed his life, so straight away he became very fat. Nothing changed in the person. What changed is his inside condition. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that our silence, the silence, there must be meditation. Think, how did I spend this day of mine? The hours of the day that went by, how did I spend it? In which places did I spend it? What was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's in'am upon me? How he treated me and how I treated him? Meditate over that. That from this morning that we got up, in the first place that getting us up, it was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal, is ihsan. For when we went to sleep, we had no control over anything, nothing. Which person, when he went to sleep, then he knew very well and fully well that in the morning he will get up? Nobody. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when you get up, the dua that you must read, Alhamdulillahi allazi ahyani ba'dama amatani wa ilayhin nushur. All praise is due to Allah who gave me life after having given me death. And to him again is our return and nushur. So there too we learn that after sleeping, it is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that gets the person up, gives him an extension of his life. So that was the first ihsan. Then when we got up, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, our speech, our sight, everything Allah ta'ala gave us salamat. So many people, when they got up, then suddenly they were paralyzed. Allah. They don't know what happened. So many cases we hear of this nature at present. They say the person was fit, he was healthy, and we don't know what happened. Suddenly, half his body is paralyzed. Suddenly he cannot see. Suddenly he cannot hear. Just last week a person phoned, he says, excellent speech he had just before going to bed, and when he got up, he can't speak. Finished. He just can't speak. What has happened? He doesn't know. Speech is gone. So all these are ni'mats that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showered upon us. He gave us the himmat, the strength in our bodies, to go to our businesses, to go to our professions. There too we retain that intelligence in our heads. Otherwise we wouldn't have been able to do anything. All these ni'mats Allah Ta'ala gave, that means he was showering upon us his ni'mats. Showering. It was coming down upon us. So what was our attitude towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Our attitude was that first thing, our namaz qaza, fajr qaza. And if we made it, it wasn't with jama'at. Those who could make it for jama'at. That it was our attitude. Then when we went to the business house, we were so busy that Zohar namaz became qaza. There again we took that food, the sandwiches and all the food, which was again given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala out of his mercy and kindness. And he is the one who kept our digestion system working. Allah. So we again took advantage of every ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we disobeyed that same Allah. The food given by Allah, as I say in my du'as always, the food of Allah given by you, the water sent down from the heavens by you, we'd eat that food, we'd drink that water. the clothes and the shelter and everything, if you have to go and analyze, then all provided by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Every ni'mat we are breathing all the time, this air that is given by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then what we do after that, we disobey that same Allah. Whole day we disobey that Allah. So that is what we should be pondering over and meditating when we are making sukut. When the silence, that is what we should be doing. Meditating over this, that Ya Allah, you have been so kind, and this is my attitude. I am a sinner, forgive me. Ask Allah for forgiveness. So meditate over that. That whether I spent my time this today in those sifats of a mu'min or the sifats of a munafiq. Because the person who was speaking lies, the person who was taking false oaths and qasams, the person who was betraying the trust, then all these were sifats of munafiqs. So now this person must ponder that where did I spend the time today? Ayatul munafiq salas, iza haddasa kazaba, wa iza wa'ada akhlaf, wa iza u'tumina khan. That with the signs of a munafiq are three. That when he speaks lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. And when he's entrusted, he betrays the trust. So now we must check that our day in business, where did it go? So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that my Rabb ordered me that I must make my silence must be meditation. And as I mentioned, that of the Ahlullah, they say that the people who remain silent, and in fact Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said, man sakata faqad naja. The person who remains silent, he will get salvation. Meaning that his silence, at least he'll restrain himself from speaking a lot of haram. So in silence, the person will be protected. But it does not mean that you must remain silent where you have to speak. And you must not speak where you should be remaining silent. One bride, her mother-in-law kept trying to make her speak, but she never speaks. Silent all the time. So she was concerned that is it something that I did, some injustice to her, why is it that she remains silent, she doesn't speak. Now where she should be speaking, she was silent. So she said, everybody is concerned that why don't you speak? So then she spoke. And what did she speak? She said, if your son dies, will you get me married again? So he said, well, in that case, your silence is better than your speech. Said, your silence is better than your speech. So when you have to speak, then that time you should speak. So in the correct place to speak is necessary, they must speak there. If a person is getting customers in his business, and he says that, no, I will remain silent. At that time, the speech of that person with regards to that article is zikr. Wow. That person whose niyat is that I want halal earning to provide for the family, I do not want to extend my hands for assistance and help, and I want to also give to the masjid, madrasa, widows, orphans, single parents who are suffering. Then, this person's speech now, with regards to a garment that he is selling, or with regards to the fruit that he is selling, or in any other discussion that is with the client, as long as it is within the boundaries of the Quran and the Sunnah, it is zikrullah. The niyat must be correct. I get many letters from ladies always complaining that we just cannot read wazifas, we cannot make zikr, we cannot do this, we cannot do that. So I explained this in some other majlis long ago too. That they should not be so worried and concerned. If they've got children, they got a fussy husband who's very particular about his food, and she's got children who are so mischievous and so naughty and so troublesome that they don't give her 1 minute peace, or they are sickly, they are ill, she's got half a dozen children and they have to be changed all the time and clothed. Now where will she find the time for plenty of zikr and tilawat and ibadat? So her ibadat and zikr and tilawat is her niyat. That she must change her niyat. Just read 1-2 tasbih is sufficient. You don't have to read 20,000 and 10,000 and all that. Just change the niyat. That Ya Allah, all these things I am doing because for your pleasure I am doing it. Because you will become happy. If I upbring these children in the Islamic manner, I take care of them, I change them, I clothe them, I feed them, then I educate them, then you will become pleased. My husband, if he is going to be happy with me, then you will be happy with me. Wow. I am feeding him, although it is not compulsory upon me to cook, but I am doing it for your pleasure. and I'm feeding. So this person now, she's making this kind of niyat, and she's doing all the housework, and she's hardly doing any zikr and tilawat, except a limited amount, of course, she should be doing, because they do find the time for gossiping. So all we are saying is that that time that you find for gossiping, that time use it for zikr and tilawat. And all the other time, just make the niyat. So if you don't find any time for gossiping, then no problem. Then you will become a waliya. Wow. With the same work, you can become a wali of Allah Ta'ala. Just with a change of niyat. But if you do have time for gossiping about others, then that gossiping time, use it for a little bit of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, 1-2 tasbih, and some dua, and inshallah you will be a wali of Allah Ta'ala. So how simple and easy Islam is. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that my Allah ordered me that my silence must be meditation. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and give the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal. We have heard over and over that until we don't make amal, it's not going to benefit us. A person has got, even if it's a doctor, he's a specialist, and he's got a kidney stone. He knows exactly that this stone, how it is formed, everything. He knows the details, every book he has read on it, and how it can be removed. On that also he has got all the knowledge. But he will not be able to remove that stone. It's going to cause him immense pain. It's going to make him roll in pain. It's going to make him roll in pain. Until he does not submit himself to another specialist and say that, get this stone out of my system. Somebody will have to operate on him or blast it out or do something. Until then, with all his knowledge about that stone, he will not be able to get it out. You haven't heard of a specialist lying flat on a hospital bed or in the theater just because he has the knowledge and he takes the chloroform himself and after that he slices his body himself and removes the stone. We haven't heard of one like that as yet. Yes, some doctors have karamat, I don't deny that. Karamat we believe in. So this is necessary, that we have to take that pain. Without that, it's not going to work. This is our weakness. We don't want to take that pain. We just want to listen, feel happy and go away. But take that little pain, brothers, just that little pain of pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and restraining ourselves from haram. Just a little, and I can take qasam upon qasam in this masjid, that in these days Allah Ta'ala does not test us very much. Just take a few steps, just take a little pain, just make up that firm decision and make that resolve that I want to give it up. No matter how much the temptation comes for the next couple of days, I'm not going to go back to that sin that I'm involved in. There will be that little pain. But then just when you get that taste of that sweetness of Iman, then you will say, why didn't we give it up long ago? Why didn't we give it up long ago? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zulamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya akramal akramin, ya ghiyasal mustaghisin. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghis. Ay Allah, hamare har guna ko maaf farma, saghira kabira, amadan khata'an zahiri batini, har guna ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, hum sab ko sehat afiyat izzat salamati naseeb farma. Ay Allah, hum sab ko apne maqbool bandon mein shumar farma. Ay Allah, auliya siddiqin ki nisbat ata farma. Ay Allah, hum ruhani bhi bimar hai aur jismani bhi bimar hai, hamari har bimari ko dur farma. اے اللہ سارے عالم کے اندر جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما جو قرض دار محتاج اور تنگ دست ہیں ان کی تنگ دستیوں کو ختم فرما اے اللہ جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفاء تامہ کاملہ عطا فرما اے اللہ جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد صالح نصیب فرما جن کو تو اولاد دے چکا اس کو نیک بنا والدین کی فرما بردار بنا اپنے حکموں کے اوپر چلنے والی اولاد بنا اے میرے پیارے خدا ہم سب کو اپنے قوت جذب سے اپنا بنا لیں اے اللہ قوت جذب سے ہم سب کو اپنا بنا لیں اللہم انا نسألوک من خیر ما سألک منہ نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك.